Our gospel lesson for this morning is the well-known story of Jesus turning water into wine, and it is from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. So hear these ancient words as they speak new life to us this morning. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. And Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now will you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks for this chance that we have today to hear your word read and proclaimed. We ask that you open our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds to hear what you have to say to us this morning. And Lord, I cannot bring this message on my own, so I ask that you hide me behind your cross and speak through me in spite of me. Amen. So who doesn't love a good wedding every once in a while? You get to attend a fairly short worship service, celebrate the love shared between two people, and usually, the evening is filled with dancing, good food, and good company. Most weddings go down with only a few minor glitches, leaving everyone happy and content by the end of the day. But have you ever attended one of those weddings where something went terribly wrong? Something that was going to be what everyone talked about at social gatherings for at least the next few years. I've heard horror stories from weddings. Like when a couple was getting married on a pier at the beach, and the groom accidentally lost hold of the bride's ring, causing it to fall right through a crack and into the ocean. And I've heard of brides accidentally stepping on their dress, causing a show that no one was anticipating. I also heard of a wedding once where the caterer got the date wrong, and guests showed up to the reception with absolutely no food to eat, causing the bride and groom to order pizza for their hungry guests. The main focus of a wedding should always be on the covenant made between God and the two people in love, and not on all the glitz and glamour that happens that day. But we do still want everything to go well. We want to throw a good party and make sure that guests feel like it was worth their time to be there. As it turns out, Jesus loved a good wedding too. In our scripture passage from the Gospel of John, we read about how Jesus attended a wedding with his friends. And it happened to be one of those weddings where something went horribly wrong. John chapter 2 says that Jesus was attending a wedding in Cana of Galilee, together with his mother Mary and his friends, the disciples. In those days, Jewish weddings used to last for an entire week. And speaking as someone who this time last year was in the middle of planning a wedding, I'm extremely, extremely grateful that weddings are no longer a week-long celebration. Just imagine the stress that must have come with throwing such a party. We learned that on only the third day of the wedding celebration, something unexpected happened. The servers had run out of wine. In the Jewish tradition, wine was central to the celebration at a Jewish wedding. It wasn't just good to drink, but was a sign of harvest and God's abundance of blessings upon the family. Running out of wine before the celebration was over would have symbolized running out of God's blessing. It would have been a social disgrace and a huge embarrassment for the family. The kind of mishap that would leave people talking about it for who knows how long. Knowing this, Jesus' mother Mary turns to Jesus and says, "They have no wine." And at first, Jesus just seems to brush this off and says something along the lines of, "Well, this isn't our problem. Maybe they should have gotten a better wedding planner." But Mary isn't satisfied with that response. So she says what is possibly one of the wisest statements in Scripture when she tells the servants to do whatever he tells you. Mary must have known that Jesus had the power to change the situation and hoped that he would do something to help. So Jesus tells the workers to take the 6 stone water jars and fill them to the brim with water. They do as Jesus says and find that the water has been transformed into roughly 180 gallons of the best wine you could find. So now, a few days into the wedding, when the guests should be drinking that cheap boxed wine, they find themselves with an abundance of the most delicious wine there is. We are told that this miracle of turning water into wine was the first sign Jesus used to reveal his glory and show that he was the Son of God. And there are a lot of questions out there as to why Jesus would use this moment as his first time to reveal his glory and power. Why not choose to end world hunger as your first miracle, or heal thousands of people from a terrible disease? Jesus could have done so much more, but instead chose to save a family's reputation at an ordinary Jewish wedding and give those attending the gift of an abundant amount of the best wine they could have. That moment of changing water into wine may seem like an insignificant thing, but it revealed that Jesus had come to bring God's blessings to us in a whole new way. When Jesus told the servants to gather water, he told them to use the jars that were for the Jewish rites of purification. And according to Jewish tradition, Jews always had to wash and purify themselves with water from these jars before they could eat a meal. So just imagine what the servants must have been thinking as Jesus told them to take what was probably very dirty water over to the chief steward to drink. To the servant's surprise, the steward takes a drink only to find that it is the best quality of wine there is. Jesus uses a ritual bound in Jewish tradition and laws and transforms it into a new way of revealing God's abundance of grace and blessing. This sign of water into wine shows the beginning of what Jesus' life will bring to God's people. Through his life, Jesus changes the Jewish system and brings a new way of life that was less concerned about following strict laws and was centered in grace and truth. In the first chapter of John's Gospel, it says that from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So Jesus takes 180 gallons of Jewish law and guilt and transforms it into 180 gallons of God's grace. This miracle was only the beginning of Jesus' ministry on earth, but it set the stage for all that Jesus would do for us. On the third day of the wedding in Cana, Jesus brought new life to those people through the gift of an abundant amount of wine. Just as on the third day of his death, Jesus was resurrected from the dead and conquered death for us all. Jesus changed the system for us. Through his life, we all receive the promise that forgiveness is available to us no matter what we may do or how bad we may screw up. His life brings the promise of eternal life and teaches us that in Christ, we have no reason to fear death. During those times in our life where we have done nothing but make mistakes and fall short of who God wants us to be, there will still always be an abundance of grace and forgiveness waiting for us that will never run out. It was also no accident that Jesus' first sign of his glory was performed at a wedding. Throughout Scripture, it says that we as the church are the bridegroom of Christ, and that through Jesus, we join in a covenantal relationship with God, through Jesus' life. Religion became something we not only do for God, but something we participate in together with God, meaning that Jesus is working in and through us and is concerned with every aspect of our lives, even something like running out of wine at a wedding. After Jesus turned the water into wine, I imagine those servants and guests who witnessed this miracle couldn't believe what they had seen. When you receive such an unbelievable gift, you can't just keep quiet about it. Those servants probably went home that night and told everyone they knew about this man who could turn water into wine. They may have not known the full story of Jesus yet, but they knew that they had just experienced an abundance of God's blessing being revealed. Jesus came so that we may have life and have it abundantly. This gift of abundant grace is too good for us to just receive and then not do anything about in return. As Christians, we have the joy of knowing that God loves us more than anything and that nothing we do can separate us from Christ's love and grace. So what do we do with this abundance of love and grace that we've been given? One thing I love about being a United Methodist is that we believe in this thing called social holiness. We don't believe we should just accept the gift of Jesus and keep it for ourselves. We understand that we are called to live a life of discipleship, where we acknowledge God's abundant love and then look for ways that we can make that love known to the least of those around us and our communities. God's abundant grace and mercy is not something to be kept to ourselves, but to be shared and lived out so that everyone has the chance to drink the wine of life and know that they are loved more than they could imagine. Today is Human Relations Day in the church, and tomorrow will be the day that we remember and celebrate the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Both are days to remember those who have fought for justice and mercy, for the least of these in our world, and to look around our society and see those places and people that are still in desperate need of experiencing God's abundant grace. So just as we wonder why Jesus chose to turn water into wine as his first miracle instead of ending war or hunger, we still question today why we are living in a world that has so much suffering and pain. How is it that we have this abundance of Christ's love and grace, and yet children across town and throughout the world went without breakfast this morning? We are here today giving thanks for all God has done for us, and yet people throughout the world are living in fear and feeling like God has abandoned them. Through Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, Jesus conquered and changed death and came so that all of us may have eternal and abundant life. But there are still symptoms of death all throughout this world. There is too much pain, too much hunger, too much sickness, too much exploitation, and too little economic opportunity. But Jesus brought hope when he changed death and gave us an abundance of life and grace. God is still at work in the world and is alive and at work in us. With this gift of abundant life, God calls us to make his love known to others so that all will come to know what it feels like to drink the best wine of grace and mercy. When Jesus saw that this little wedding in Cana of Galilee had a situation that needed to be changed, Jesus answered that need and changed the problem. And through changing water into wine, he revealed God's abundant blessing to all who were there. We may not have the power to change water into wine, but we do have the promise of new life. And as Christ is alive and working through us, our redemption is not only our ticket out of this world, but it's an invitation to change it. We have been given eyes and ears to see and hear the hurts and needs of God's people. And we are called to look for ways that we can change those hurts and help transform them into something good. When Mary saw that something needed to be done about this potentially embarrassing situation at a wedding, she told the servant something very wise. When she said, "Do whatever Jesus tells you." Jesus commands us to love our neighbors as ourselves, to feed the hungry, serve the poor, and visit the sick and those in prison. God chose to use a small town wedding in Cana of Galilee to reveal his glory to others. And God has chosen to use us as instruments of his love and grace. As we go back out into the world as servants of Christ, may we have the courage to do what Mary said in that moment and do everything that Jesus has told us to do as we seek to share God's grace and love with those around us. Amen.